Welcome you and say a special welcome to any of our guests. We're glad that you're here. We would love to connect with you. We can do that in one of a couple ways. First of all, there should be a card in the pew back in front of you. If you would simply fill that information out, and at the end of service as we take up our offering, there's an opportunity to leave that in the offering plate as you leave. Or you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new. Click that button and fill that information out. You can do that if you're in person or online, whatever your preference is. And so excited about today. I want to share with you just a few announcements this morning. First of all, we will have we're planning for our pray and go tonight. So if you'll show up just a little bit before 5, and then we try to go out in the community from 5 to 6 and just spend some time praying and asking the Lord to do a great work in our community, because we believe prayer changes things. And I'm going to be preaching this morning on prayer, and so would love for you to be a part of that this evening. Again, that is from 5 to 6 p.m. Excited about that. Also, this Wednesday is our Bible study with the pastor, and so we will begin at 9:30. We have some light refreshments and time together in the Word, and this week, it's the first Wednesday of every month. Anybody that is willing and able wants to come, and at 9:30 we try to go for right at an hour, and I will be beginning the book of Revelation this week, and so love for you to come and be a part of that study as we walk through that together, and looking forward to that time. There's several things that are happening and going on. One of those that we're getting ready for is our Fall Fest, and that is the last Sunday of this month. It's hard to believe it's October, right? But here we are. So anyway, we are collecting candy for that. It takes a whole lot of candy for that night. And so we've got a collection box near our office. And so if you are willing and able, as you go to the store, or you see the candy for sale, if you may be able to buy a bag or two here and there, help spread it out. I know that it's expensive. So thank you so much for helping with that. And there will be a sign-up sheet going around soon as we begin to recruit. It's going to take a lot of help. So I hope that you will make plans to be a part of that night. It is our single biggest outreach event that we do throughout the entire year. So I want to encourage you to make plans to be a part of that event. So we're going to have a word of prayer in just a moment. As I was getting ready to come up, I just reminded of Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I hope you're excited this morning. I'm excited that the Lord woke us up this morning. He gave us a sound mind. He is alive and well today. And we get the chance in just a moment to use our voice to sing and worship the Lord, to study the Word of God together, and pray that He is glorified by our time. And so if you will, let's go to the Lord and pray that His hand may be upon our service. Lord Jesus, You are good and gracious and kind. And God, I am excited to be here with my brothers and sisters in Jesus, and pray that all that we say and do this morning, God, that You would be glorified. And we just love You. We thank You for all things. Lord, I just pray, God, You'd help us to leave all the baggage, all the struggles behind this morning, to focus in on You and who You are. And Lord, we love You and praise You. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand as we sing, Love Lifted Me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Oh, Souls of all who come.
Love to introduce to you this morning. It's a newer song that's been out for a little while. You may have heard it on the radio, but it's called Same God. And we felt like this was an appropriate song to be before the message today because, as Pastor Chris said earlier, he's going to be talking about this incredible prayer that Nehemiah prays to God. And as we think about praying to the God of the Old Testament, he is the same God this morning. The things that he did for his children in the past, he longs to do them today. Amen? And so as we sing this, some of you may know it. I invite you to join with us. It's not a difficult song to pick up on. But let's call out to the God of Jacob, to the God of Moses this morning in prayer, longing for him to move in our midst as he did in the past.
I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me. Oh God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh, rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. Now I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your feet. On your faithfulness. heard your children then. You hear your children now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were providing then. You are providing now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You moved in power then. God moved in power now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were a healer then. You are a healer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were a Savior then. You are a Savior now. You are the same God. You are the same God. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you. Mighty river, come and fill me again. Come and fill me again. Come and fill me again.
God of heaven, this morning, we do call on you because you are the same God. We read stories in the Bible. They're just not stories. It's not a fable, but it's the truth of how you moved in the lives of your children in the past. And we know that you could do it today. God, you restored people. You restored the broken. And this morning, Father, we are broken and we are in need of you. So would you come? Would you meet with us as you did in the days of old? And would your spirit move in our midst and have freedom to fill us again. Father, we need your touch this morning. Would you come? We beg of you to come. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Is anybody thankful this morning that we serve the same God? Well, there's one or two of you. Is anybody thankful this morning that we serve the same God? There you go. Amen. I'm proud of you. I had a pastor who'd say sometimes you folks look like you've been dipped in prune juice and winged on a pickle this morning, so... He had a way to encourage people as well. Man, God is so gracious and kind. And so I am grateful that He is the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we are going to, if you have your Bible, I hope that you do, would you turn to the book of Nehemiah? Nehemiah chapter 1, and we are going to pick up in verse 4. Again, we ended in verse 4, but we're going to pick up there. The song before, I love, probably one of my favorite modern lyrics is back to back there, that the church of Christ was born, but it says that the gospel shall not kneel and the gospel shall not faint. And that's because God is the same yesterday and today forevermore, and it's the gospel who saves. It's the gospel who changes lives. And even at the end of singing same God there, we talked about that He's changing lives right now. Have you given thought this morning that there are thousands of thousands and likely millions of people all across our nation right now that are meeting for worship, and there are some that are surrendering their heart and life to Jesus right now, that they're going from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. There are some right now that are begging God to be set free from addiction, and God is meeting them right where they're at right now. There are some that, man, they are begging for a supernatural work, a miracle in their life, and God is at work right now. And man, I don't know about you, but I'm begging God this morning that the Spirit of God would be clear and would be evident this morning, that some this morning may go from death to life. Some may be set free from something. God may work and move in the life of our church, that He be glorified. And so before we get into that, I want to celebrate a little bit this morning. This past weekend, just yesterday, there were some 1,600 Arkansas Baptists that descended upon Hot Springs in Garland County with somewhere around 150 ministry sites, all sorts of things. There were eight no-sale yard sales. And let me tell you why there were so many. They've never had that many before. Let me tell you why. It is because of the testimony of this church. Listen, I'm not overstating that. There were no sale yard sales that were taking place, and the gospel was being shared because of the testimony of Second Baptist Russellville and how God has used you and your generosity and your obedience for us to share the gospel with people. And so, man, it was exciting. I got to go to four of those sites, and they were set up, and man, people were, so much stuff was given. It was a lot of fun to me to get to see that and know the testimony of your faithfulness and your obedience to proclaim the gospel and leverage every opportunity and every resource we have, that men, women, and boys and girls may get to come to know Him. Here's what's exciting, is that the report out of yesterday, are you ready? There were 102 individuals that prayed to receive Christ yesterday. Amen. Man, glory to God. Let me tell you one quick story. I went down on Thursday. Several of the state leaders and local leaders, they asked to come in because they have all the supplies of what it takes on a big moving truck. And so since Thursday, we unloaded it, packed boxes, put the boxes back on the truck. Then we unloaded all the boxes, and then yesterday afternoon we put it all back that didn't get used. All right, that sounds like a fun time, doesn't it? But nonetheless, on Thursday we unloaded everything. We're packing boxes, but there were a lot of block parties and different things that happened. And so that takes a lot of hamburgers and hot dogs and water and chips and cookies and all this. So all this stuff was coming from Cisco. And so here was this fun time. You ever, somebody's supposed to come work at your house or come do some service or something, they say, we'll be there between 12 and 2. Amen. That's the sort of window we got. And said, hey, we'll be there between 12 and 2. Well, I know this didn't happen to you, but they were late. And so they showed up about 4:30. And two young men, and so we were starting to help unload. And one of the young men soon came around and said, man, are y'all getting all this stuff? Because it was a pretty big truck and it had a lot of stuff on it. And like three or four pallets of water or something. Anyway, said, yeah, man. He said, man, what is this being used for? And so we started talking about it. And so we finally got everything unloaded. And the driver's name was Mason and his buddy's name was Jacob. And so before they left, I said, Mason, Jacob, I need to ask you the most important question anybody will ever ask you. And so I got to share the gospel with them. And right there on Thursday afternoon in Hot Springs at Piney Baptist Church parking lot, Mason and Jacob both gave their heart to Jesus. And man, just rejoicing in that. And I've been able to pass along Jacob's information. One of the guys there was connected to a church that he said he went to. And so looking forward to connecting them and just excited about that. And so, by the way, let me just say as a shameless plug, if you will, your giving to Dixie Jackson is why that was possible yesterday. 65% of the resources that it took to make everything happen yesterday comes from Dixie Jackson. And so know that your giving matters. And let me also say this. Obviously, we are praying for hurricane victims and everything that's happening. Steve and Sharon Overton getting ready to deploy tomorrow with many Arkansas Baptist disaster relief teams that are preparing in the next several weeks to deploy. That happens because of your giving through Dixie Jackson and the cooperative program. And so we are grateful the way that you have given and that you are giving and plan to give to that. So all of that, Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven, and I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you, and have not kept your commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you have commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you command your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. And if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out of the farthest parts of heaven, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to a place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. Let me pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you and thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray you would teach us this morning. God, I pray you would convict us and draw us closer to you. I pray that the lost would be saved and the saints of God would be renewed and restored. God, I pray that you would burden our heart that we may be a people of prayer. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning, no fancy title, it's just prayer. And we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to look at some truth about prayer this morning. Let me help you get the running start into the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a contemporary of Ezra, and the people of God have been in exile. The city had been taken captive, and it had been destroyed, and it is in shambles, if you will. It's in a bad place. And God in His sovereignty has raised up Nehemiah in a position of leadership far from Jerusalem. But Nehemiah had heard from Hananiah that the city and the people were not good. The people were destitute. They were struggling. The city wall that provided their protection was broken down. There was problems that were going on. And so Nehemiah, man of God, had heard this about the people of God. And we see in verse 4 that he sat down, he mourned. We talked about that. He wept. He talked about his brokenness. And in response to his brokenness, he did two things. Number one, he fasted. And so last week we looked at burdened people. And we said that the brokenness always precipitates a significant move of God. It always precedes. It comes first. Man, listen, if we want to see a mighty move of God, then the people of God need to be broken. We need to be broken over our own sin. We need to be broken over the sin and the disgusting nature in which our culture and our nation and moral compass that is absolutely absent in our nation and in our world. We need to be broken over lostness. Man, listen, I rejoice that there were 102 professions of faith. Man, I rejoice that Mason and Jacob gave their heart to Jesus. But in the same breath, I think about how many more are there? How many more are waiting to hear the gospel? That are wondering if God is real, that is contemplating suicide, that is struggling with all sorts of things because they are just empty and void and struggling. And so if we're going to see God move at Second Baptist the way that we want Him to see Him move, if we're going to see the greatest days ahead, and I believe we can, and I believe we will, the greatest days in the history of Second Baptist lay before us. It's going to happen because God's people get broken over the things of God. And our heart breaks for what breaks His heart. And so I challenged you last week to begin last week, all the way leading up to the week of Thanksgiving, to fast for at least one meal a week. And during that time, to seek the Lord. And so his response out of his brokenness was first fasting, but then secondly, it was prayer. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want us to take a Nehemiah in response to this. We get a picture of what Nehemiah prayed, how he prayed. And so here's what we need to do. It'll help us to fast forward to the end of the book a little bit and understand and see that God answered Nehemiah's prayer. God did incredible things in Jerusalem. He restored the people. He restored the city. It wasn't without some adversity. It wasn't without some struggle. And so here's what I'm saying is that if we need to be a people that are broken and we're going to respond with fasting, but we're going to respond with prayer, then I want to grow in my prayer life. I want to know, can I be more effective in my prayer life? Because I don't know about you, sometimes I get in a rut. And Don Whitley, in his book, Praying the Bible, he said this. He said, we oftentimes pray the same old things about the same old, we pray the same old things in the same old way about the same old things, and we just do it time and time and time and time again. And I just believe as I read the Bible and let the Bible speak to us that we can be challenged in our prayer life, that we can learn some things about prayer, and we can be more effective in our praying. And so there's six truths out of this. The main idea of the text is this, is that broken Christians are praying Christians. Brokenness, godly brokenness leads us to action. This is similar to the way that I explained the difference between conviction of the Holy Spirit and guilt that is from the enemy. And I'll tell you this, guilt is not of God. Guilt is not of God. Conviction is of God. What's the difference? Is conviction leads me to action. Guilt just tells me how sorry I am, and I sit and I sulk and feel sorry for myself and make no changes. Conviction of the Holy Spirit shows me where I'm wrong, and it produces repentance, which means a change in mind where I take a different action. I have a different response. And I believe the same is true of here, brokenness. That brokenness, godly brokenness, leads me to action. It doesn't just lead me to go, man, how terrible, or that's a terrible place to be, or that's not, like, it leads to some sort of response, some sort of action. And that's exactly what happens in the life of Nehemiah. He first begins, he fasts, and then he prays. And so, broken Christians are praying Christians. So the key question then is this: how is your prayer life? How would you describe your prayer life? Is it a bit dry and dusty? Is it a bit repetitious? Is it pretty minimal? Is it non-existent? Man, when we hear people are struggling and hurting and need, do we just, we don't know, man, God, would you just be with them? And that's the only way we pray. And so what I hope is, and what I believe is, as we look at this prayer from Nehemiah, this example of Scripture, that we can learn some things that will breathe life into our praying, but then we'll actually go out and pray. Man, because listen, I believe with all my heart, the Bible says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Heard Brother Ronnie recently say this, that prayer unlocks and unleashes the power of God. Probably the most powerful thing that we have apart from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is prayer. It's the most effective tool that we have. And how often do we neglect prayer that we don't even open up the door of opportunity for God to work in the way that He wants to because we won't pray. We don't spend time praying. We don't spend time seeking the face of God. And so, friends, I think we've got to get a burden for the things of God and really get convicted. Man, we really do need to seek the Lord in prayer. So there's six truths. Number one, prayer ought to be an act of worship. Prayer ought to be an act of worship. Here we go, verse 4. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. So here he is, brokenness, and then he's leading right into going, man, I'm not just feeling bad about everything. I'm not just in a bad situation. But here I am, and I'm seeking the God of heaven. So look at verse 5. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. You know what he's doing? He is worshiping God. He is acknowledging very clearly who he is praying to. He's not praying to anybody. He's not praying to anything. He's not praying to another man. He's not praying to the king. He's not praying to Buddha. He's not praying to any false gods. He's not praying to an animal. He's not praying to Mary. He is praying to God of heaven. Look at this. He said, I pray, Lord God of heaven. Listen, there is one God. There is one God that is alive. There is one God who created everything. There is one God who bankrupted heaven and enriched earth that you may have salvation. There is one line of the tribe of Judah. There is one bright and morning star and fairest unto our soul. Hallelujah. Anybody excited this morning? There is one Alpha and Omega, and that is the God that he's praying to. And man, listen, we want to fuss and fight over worship wars and about what song we sing and what instrument it's played on. But I'm telling you right now, and I love Al Ray to death, he'll tell you this, man, worship is more than singing a song. Man, it is the proclamation of the truth of the God that we love, saying, you are the same God. You're the rock of ages. You're the cleft for me. Man, listen, I stand on your firm foundation. You and you alone are God. God, man, worship is so much more than singing songs or saying words to a melody. It is the outpour of your heart, recognizing God for who He is. And man, He is starting His time of prayer in worship. He's going, man, before God I ask you for anything. God, before I give you my grocery list, before I just run through all of my needs, before I just lay everything out, before I do any of that, then I'm going to spend time praising God for who He is. Because listen, if God doesn't do another single solitary thing for you or for me, or He doesn't do another single solitary thing for this church, God's already done more than we deserve. There is a heaven, there is a home, a glory land we're looking for. But let me tell you this, even if there was not, He's still already done more for us than we deserve. And so what does Nehemiah do? Man, your people are broken, there's real needs, there's real urgency. But what's he begin with? Man, he begins with praise and worship. He's worshiping the God of creation. He's singing praise and proclaiming who He is. He says, I pray, Lord God of heaven, look at this. Oh, great and awesome God. Man, I know we use awesome. It's a common word for us, but picture this, that the word also is awestruck. I am in awe of you. I'm speechless by who you are and what you've done. Recognizing that you are sovereign and you are holy and you are righteous. Oh, great and awesome God. Look at this. You keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you. You know what he's saying? God, you're faithful. He's saying you keep your covenant. You keep your word even when the people of God don't. Anybody testify to that this morning? That God's been good to you even when you have not reciprocated the same? That God's been faithful and He's been good to you when you've been disobedient, when you've been unfaithful, when you've been out on your own? Man, God has been good to us. And He's been faithful. And so, man, do you just catch this? Man, Nehemiah is in the middle of shouting ground in a prayer time. And what's he doing? He's just worshiping God. You're the God of creation. You keep your covenant mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Now, why do I believe this is important? Because I believe this is what happens when you and I will begin our time of prayer and worship and acknowledging God who He is. Number one, there's no confusion in our heart and our mind that who we're praying to. But also, probably bigger than that, is whenever we praise God, I fully believe this with all my heart, that God inhabits the praises of His people. When you and I kneel, when you and I sing, we stand, however it is, we are engaged in worship. When you are engaged in worship, you are probably engaging in the most fundamental part of what you were created to do. You were created, Acts 17, in the hope that we might grope for Him, find Him, that we might worship Him. You were created to worship God. And so when we're engaged in worship, we're doing and a part of the most fundamental part of what we were created to do. And so when you and I, God's creation, are engaged in worship, and man, we're on our knees and we're just worshiping God, and God, you're good and gracious and kind, what happens, I believe, is there's this aroma that lifts to the throne room of heaven, and God gets a whiff of that aroma and goes, man, I like that, and He inhabits. God comes down. God's Spirit is manifest. Man, there's a presence of God that happens. And so as Nehemiah is praying, he is worshiping God. We see this in other places. Daniel 9, 3 through 5, he says, "Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes." Listen to what he says. "And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God." Do you hear the praise? "Who keep his covenant mercy with those who love him, with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity, and we have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgment." What happens? Daniel begins his time of prayer by acknowledging God and worshiping him. Psalm 75:1, "We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wonderful works to declare that your name is near." Friend, you want to see a life breathed into your time of prayer? Begin with a time of worship. There's been seasons I've gone through something like a hymnal, or gone through songs that really ministered to me, that worship God and began by myself and in my own, man, singing that or just declaring that truth. Man, use the Bible to talk about the names of God and who God is, and man, just worship Him. I'm just telling you, if you want to see some life given to your prayer time and know and trust that God may inhabit the prayers, may hear your prayers, and man, just have this sweet time of fellowship with God, begin with a time of praise. Number two. Prayer ought to be ongoing. Prayer ought to be ongoing. Look at verse 6. "Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now." Look at this. Day and night. Day and night. I think we've got a few verses here recorded of Nehemiah's praying, but here's what I believe also. I don't believe this is all that Nehemiah prayed. Because right here, as he's praying to God, he is worshiping him, but he's saying, "Man, I'm crying out to you day and night. Man, I'm seeking your face. I'm passionately pursuing you." And it's not just a 2-minute, a 90-second breath of prayer that really has no depth or life to it, but rather, man, I'm just pursuing the face of God and asking God to do something only He can. But it's this ongoing. It ought to be this pursuit. We have it in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says it this way: pray without ceasing. Man, you and I need to learn. Yes, we ought to have dedicated times, I believe, early and late, where we just, man, we get on our knees and we seek the face of God and we're really diligent in prayer. But we also need to learn this ongoing conversation with God. And you're driving down the road and somebody's in an accident, please don't be driving down I-40 and get on your knees and close your eyes if you're supposed to be driving, okay? Let me discourage you from that. But man, you drive by an accident. Man, God, I pray that if they don't know you, God, would you have mercy on them and give them another chance to be saved? God, I pray that you protect them. Be with the medical personnel. And as you're going about your day and, man, you run into somebody that's just really rude, having a hard day, God, I pray that, man, you'd send somebody, be an encouragement to them, provide for them. God, it could have been that their husband or their wife got up that morning and said, "I'm leaving." I just wonder how often we can walk through our day and we walk through so by and through so many opportunities where we could just simply, we don't necessarily have the opportunity to get down and really seek the Lord, and sometimes we do, but just this ongoing prayer, this ongoing conversation with the Lord. Psalm 88:1 and 2, "O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you, and let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry." I do believe there are some things that we need to be exceptionally diligent in praying about. Praying for lost people to come to know Jesus. Praying that God may send a mighty move among His people. praying that God would send revival here, praying that God would restore people, that God would bring people back that have not come back from COVID. Man, just so many things that we can pursue and ask God and beg God to do. So prayer ought to be worship. Prayer ought to be ongoing. Number three, prayer ought to be intercession. Boy, y'all got to listen faster. I'll never make it through. Verse 6, look at this. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I now pray, which I pray before you day and night. Look at this, the last phrase, or this next phrase, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel. What's he doing? So here's what's happened. Man began with a time of praise and worship. I believe that that aroma lifts to heaven. God gets a whiff of that, says, man, I like that. And he inhabits the praises of his people. And then there's this intentionality, man, I'm pursuing God. I'm in pursuit, this ongoing conversation with God. But then as a part of that, there's this intercession where he's praying for others. He is standing in the gap of going, man, my brother or my sister is hurt, and I've got to stand in the gap, pray for them. They're in bondage. They're struggling with this sin, and they're not even seeing it now. Man, I got to stand in the gap and ask God to help them to see this. My brother, my sister, my neighbor, my coworker is lost without Christ, dead in their sins. They don't even see their need of salvation. They don't see their end is destruction. I need to stand in between and pray and ask God, God, would you work in their life? Would you bring them to salvation? Man, prayer ought to be this worship. It ought to be this ongoing conversation. But it also is a time of intercession where we're asking God to intercede on the behalf of others. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end and all perseverance and supplication. Look at this, for all the saints. Paul's talking about praying for everyone, praying for brothers and sisters. Colossians 1:9-12, for this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, look at this, we do not cease to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I mean, he just keeps going, and what is he doing? He is interceding on the behalf of the other brothers and sisters in the church. This particular example at Colossae and the brothers and sisters there, begging that they may be filled with the Spirit of God. He is interceding on their behalf, asking God to work and to move in their life. So prayer ought to be intercession. Number four, prayer ought to be a time of repentance. Man, look at this. Here we go, verse 6 and 7. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants. And look at this, and confess the sins of your children, which, Mark underlined this, we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. Circle I. Verse 7. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinance which you commanded your servant Moses. Now listen. Nehemiah was a sinner just like the rest of us. There's only been one that's ever been born that was not a sinner, and that's Jesus. Okay, unequivocally. But in terms of the account that we have and the information we have about Nehemiah, we have no record specifically of Nehemiah's sin or wrongdoing. We have no specifics about how Nehemiah has acted corruptly. Now, certainly, again, he was not sinless, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's a promise that the wages of sin is death. The penalty and punishment for our sin is not just physical death, but it's eternal death called hell. But thanks be to God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That you don't have to suffer the penalty and punishment of sin because Jesus has done it on the cross for you. And He paid your price on the cross. He was buried in the grave, and on the third day He was risen from the grave to conquer death, hell, and the grave, to provide you the gift of salvation. But here we have the prayer of Nehemiah where he is repenting on behalf of the children of Israel, and he is using the words we and I. He's even talking about his father's house, likely referencing even those in his family tree, if you will. What do I think is happening? One, I think what is happening here is what we would refer to as corporate repentance. I mean, that is a foreign idea to us in a Western culture in the United States of America in 2022 that somehow I would repent for the sins of somebody else. We are such an individualistic culture and society to think that we would take any responsibility for anybody else's action is absolutely absurd. But I believe that's exactly what Nehemiah is doing. And sure, there's some level of ownership that I'm sure Nehemiah had, and he had his own sin. But here he is acting in corporate repentance on behalf of the people of God, saying, we have acted corruptly. We have not been obedient to your word. Listen, had they been obedient to the word, they would have never been in exile. Had they not been in exile, the city would be in great shape and the people of God would be in great shape. But because they sinned against God, they experienced exile. The Babylonians, others came in and took captivity and the city is broken down. Everything is in shape because of the sin. And what is Nehemiah realizing? He's saying the only way the people of God are only going to get back to being in right relationship and fellowship with God is if we repent. This is hard for us. So on one hand, I think if we're honest this morning, we all have enough of our own stuff to repent of. We need to repent of prayerlessness. We need to repent of the opposite of brokenness and apathy. We need to repent of sins of omission and sins of commission. But if I can talk to the church family for just a moment. Second Baptist, I wonder if there doesn't need to be some corporate repentance. If we don't need to ask God to forgive us of how we have maybe treated one another in times gone by. We need to repent of how we've handled situations in years past. It is no secret that we've had our hard days and hard times for many years. And I just wonder what might happen if the people of God repented for the things we have done, the things we have allowed. The things we've refused to stand on, or the things that we've stood on were that were not hills worth fighting or dying on. See, because I believe until we get gut level honest with God and we repent things in our individual lives, things in our corporate lives as a church family, we won't see a significant move of God. Nehemiah was broken over the condition of the city of God and the people of God. And he uses I some, but he also uses we a lot. And I don't believe it's just an escape from responsibility, but rather he's just seeing where they're at, and he is so desperate to see God move again, saying, God, forgive us for where we've not been obedient. Forgive us for where we've broken your law and your command, and we've gotten away from you. And I just wonder this morning, is there going to be anybody that comes and gets on this altar and go, man, God, we've gotten some things wrong. Would you forgive us? So I believe God honors and blesses repentance and obedience. We see this in Daniel 9. He says, then I set my face toward the Lord God of heaven, made requests by prayer and supplication, fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. We read this a moment ago. Verse 4, and I prayed to the Lord God of heaven, to the Lord my God, and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant mercy with those who love him, with those who keep his commandments. Look at this, verse 5. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. It's we language. God, forgive us for a negative spirit about talking about what we sang or what we didn't sing. God, forgive us for, just take ownership and responsibility of things gone by that we've never confessed before. And maybe by the grace of God, He'll work and He'll move. The Bible says this. He says, if we repent, we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe that's why Nehemiah has such the success that he does. And God honors that and rebuilds the people and rebuilds the city because he was willing to take the leadership position and go, and God, would you forgive us? Number 5, prayer ought to be biblical. Prayer ought to be biblical. Verses 8 and 9, remember, I pray, the word you commanded, listen to this, every time you see word, command, precept, Mark, underline those. The word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are faithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I've chosen as a dwelling place for my name. What is Nehemiah doing? He is remembering a promise of God that is in the Word of God, and he is praying that back to God. And I don't have time to this morning for us to spend a whole lot of time here, but I'll tell you, friend, there is power in praying the Word of God. When we know and we study the Word of God, then you read your Bible and God speaks to you about the joy of the Lord, man, take that to the Lord in prayer, going, God, will you give me the joy of your salvation? God, will you do, man, you may read Ephesians, Colossians 1, 9 through 12, listen to what he prays, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being faithful in every good work and increasing knowledge of God. Man, that's the Word of God. That's what Paul's praying for other believers. So why don't we go, God, would you help me be fully pleasing to you, walking in the knowledge of you, man, and just asking God to do what he wants to do in his Word. And listen, friend, there is power and authority to whenever you're praying, and I'm not talking about naming and claiming, so I'm talking about, man, God wanting to work in your life. Man, when you worship God, you've sought Him, man, you're passionate about that, you're confessing your sin, you're interceding on others, and man, you began praying, God, I pray for my sister that she would walk in the fullness of God, that she would walk in the knowledge of Him, she'd be obedient to His will. God, I pray that we would confess our sins, and I know you'll be faithful and just to do that. And man, we pray the Word of God for people and for ourselves, and God answers that. Why? Because it's the Word of God. You can be confident to know that when we pray the will of God, using the Word of God, under the power of God, God will work. God moves because that's what He wants to do. We see this in Acts chapter 4, verses 24 through 27. Listen, so when they had heard this, they raised their voices to God in one accord and said, Lord, your God, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. By the way, what did they do? That's worship. That's worship. Who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and why did the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and rules were gathered rulers were gathered against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles, the people of Israel, were gathered together. And they go on to pray. What are they doing? They're taking the word of God, remembering the promise and the prophecy of God, and they are praying for God to work. And by the way, the New Testament church, God falls and moves, and they see thousands saved. So prayers ought to be biblical. Man, as you read your Bible, you read things that, man, God moves and stirs in your heart. You see promises. You see truth. You see things that need to be. Man, you see that, man, he who wins souls is wise. Man, you know what? The proverb tells us, he that winneth souls is wise. God, will you help me to be wise and win souls? Win souls for the glory of God. Number six, prayer ought to be bold and specific. Listen to Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant. What's he saying? God, would you please hear me? He goes on. He says, and to the prayer of your servant who desire to fear your name, and let your servant, look at this, here's where he's asking, let your servant prosper this day. He's saying, God, would you please put your hand on me, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Listen, I don't have enough time for all this. What's he doing? He has already understood that Nehemiah has been called to action. He doesn't even pray, God, do you want me to do anything? No, he sees there's a need. The city's broken down. The people are destitute. He's weeping. He's fasting. He's mourning. He is seeking the Lord. Now he's praying, and he doesn't pray, boy, God, do you want me to do something? No, but he realizes God had raised him up to a position of leadership and a position of power, and he is not wondering should he's doing something. He's saying, I know I've got to act. God, will you be with me? He says, that favor with this man, what's that mean? He's fixing to approach the king. And by the way, man, there's just so much there. He's a cupbearer. His responsibility is oftentimes to eat or drink things before it gets to the king, and they'll see if Nehemiah dies. If he doesn't die, then they'll eat it. And that's his job and responsibility. So he's in a position of power and authority and a lot of trust. And so he realizes there's great danger. If I approach this and he doesn't see this, man, he could lose all trust and boom, there I'm out of job or I'm killed. But he realizes God had put him in the position that he's in, given him the gifts that he's in and the ability that he has for this time. The Bible, as for such a time as this. And so what's he doing? God, will you have mercy on me? Will your hand be upon me that when I approach this man, God, there will be favor? What's he doing? He's praying for boldness and he's praying specifically. And sometimes when we have people, you know, I need to pray for my brother Jim, and God, I just pray you'll bless him. And listen, I want God to bless my brother. But if I know he's struggling with health or struggling with things or whatever, man, there's biblical truth that we began praying that. Hey, listen, what would you rather me pray for you? Say, hey, Brother Chris, just in a dry place in my walk and struggling with, man, just walk with the Lord and want to grow. Would you rather me pray, God, will you bless my brother? Or would you rather me pray this? God, I pray that you would help her to walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glory. God, would you give them patience and long suffering with joy? God, thank you for, man, which one do you want? And you want the word of God, praying specific, praying boldly. That's what I want. And so we can learn from Nehemiah, there's some real specific boldness to his prayer. And so what do we do with this? And I want to challenge you this week. This is the application. I want to challenge you this week to find 30 minutes every day to spend time praying. Now, if you want to break that into 6 5-minute segments, you want to break it into 3 10-minute segments through your day, however you want to do that. But I want to challenge our church family. I've already challenged you to fast from one meal every week for the next several weeks. And I want to challenge you this week, every day this week. Will you try to take some of these principles and apply them to your prayer life and give 30 minutes. 30 minutes every day. I mean, what is that, 1/48th of your day? Give 30 minutes to seek the Lord. Further application is this. Here in just a moment, we're going to pray. And I really do believe with all my heart, there may be some things in here individually we need to repent of. I also believe there's some things corporately we need to repent of. And I just want to challenge, especially some of our church folks, that you come sit near, you'll come get on this altar. And you may say, hey, Pastor, I'm really not even a part of it. Man, listen, begging God. God, would you forgive us? Would you work? God, we want the power and presence of God to be upon our church. And ask God to work and to move the way that only can. And finally, I'll end with this. If you've not yet surrendered your life to Jesus, it doesn't matter how many times you pray or in what way you pray. The most important prayer that you've yet to make is asking God to save you and forgive you of your sins and be the boss of your life. That's the most important. And if you've not yet done that, I want to encourage you in this moment, you would beg God, God, forgive me. Be the boss and master of my life, and you surrender to Him. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, love and adore you. God, you're worthy of our praise and adoration. You are the God of creation. You are sovereign over all things. And God, I pray this morning you'd help us to respond to you. I pray if there's anybody here who doesn't know you, God, that's not yet been saved, I pray right now they would seek your face. They would pray to you and ask for salvation. If that's you this morning, would you just pray something like this? Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, with head bowed and eyes closed and nobody else looking around, if you'd say, Pastor Chris, I pray and ask God to save you, save me this morning. I pray, meant with all my heart. Would you just look right up here at my eyes? Brother Chris, I prayed that and I meant it with all my heart. Just look right up here at my eyes. God in heaven, I pray this morning that you'd help us to respond to you. God, teach us, grow us, convict us. Lord, you work, I pray. God spoke to your heart this morning. Would you come and just bow before Him and ask God to work? You come now. Maybe you just want to come intercede for somebody else. Maybe you just want to come and beg God to work in our church family. You come on.
Just as
style.